And good afternoon, Muskegon. It is time for Torn Into, your show for news, information, and more. Today is July 21st, 2023. Weather forecast for the next several days. Today is high 78, low 62. For the next several days, it's just going to get warmer. No chance of rain. Look for the highest day, a Wednesday, high of 90. Low of 68 and sunny. No chances of rain all during the week. Do me a favor. Grab your phone and share this because it is election time, primary election time. And let me get my co-host on here, Pastor Melvin C. Burns the second. How are you doing, sir?
Brother Gregory T., I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Good. Hey, man, it's National Hot Dog Day.
Oh.
And let me see. I'm trying to think who passed away. Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett, 96 years old.
96. What a smooth voice. Been around for
the last of the crooners.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so listen, it's primary season, and let's get straight to it. Oh, let me give you some housekeeping rules. If you are on the road and you would like to come back and watch this interview, you can go to WVS 103.7 to beat our M106, their Facebook sites, and these shows run over and over again. And get that emoji app, really. And all those shows repeat themselves. Today, we have the vice mayor of the city of Muskegon. He is running in Ward 2. He has two people that he's running against. Put your hands together for Vice Mayor Willie German Jr. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Greg. How are you?
Good.
Mr. How are you?
Mr. German, how are you doing today?
Great.
All right. We got a lot to talk about in a half hour. Questions, we try to give everybody the same questions. You're a little different because you're the incumbent. All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Born and raised here in the city of Muskegon. Been here all my life. Went to all of Muskegon public schools in this district. Started at Angel Elementary, still junior high, Muskegon high school graduate. Then I went off. Actually MCC for a while. Then went to Baker. Got my associate's bachelor's degree from there. Mm-hmm. Continued my education at Western Michigan University. And I received a master's in educational leadership and administration, but also tapped into the computer networking field when it first really hit the market. That's when they implemented technology in the classroom. So a lot of the young students that you see in the 30s right now are former students of mine. Some of them followed that path and are engineers and computer developers and stuff like that. But shortly after that, I just continued to work in the city, and I volunteered time for, asked for you one time when you ran for state representative, Greg. I was your campaign manager, and I was I worked on Blanche Smith's campaign when she was the mayor. She was the first Black mayor in the city of Muskegon. Mentor like from Daniel Oglesby, who was a first Black male mayor in the city of Muskegon. So I mean, and then I ran for Congress back in 2012, and then became a city commissioner during that time, and now I'm vice mayor, and work just continues. So,
Pastor Burns.
Yeah. So you're up for re-election. First, tell us why you decided to go for another term.
Well, you know, I've been doing this work, Mr. Burns, and it's just something that I do to give back to the community. I don't even look at it as a job. But the thing about it, things are so critical right now. There's a lot of development and growth. And what I've done as a leader, not only engage with the community, build relationships, but I made a difference systemically. Okay, because at one time, there was not a lot of inclusiveness. Okay, talk about the diversity, equity, inclusion, equal opportunities. And if it did come up, it was kind of shunned away. So I think under my leadership, I really made a difference to really talk about these things and not only talk about them, but engage in them. Like what I did was I resurrected the EEOC for the city of Muskegon. I wrote a proclamation on opposing racism in the city of Muskegon. I also did a proclamation for Juneteenth National Independence Day. Now, city employees are getting paid also for that holiday. And then we hung that flag. We raised the flag also. But it's just so much more that I've done. I brought in the social equity initiative through the state of Michigan, through the marijuana subject, where anybody that was impacted by marijuana at that time was incarcerated. And most of the people that was incarcerated looked like us. And it affected families and people. So, I mean, those are the things I advocate for. But not only that, people getting thrown out of their homes, combating gentrification. I mean, the list just goes on.
Some of the questions that have come up, the transparency of the commission, what is your views? Because that's one of the questions that came up with two of the other candidates.
Well, I've always been transparent and held everybody accountable. And I've even said publicly, hold me accountable as well. I've set up under three mayors, Mayor Warmington, Mayor Godwin, now Mayor Ken Johnson, but also worked with three different city managers. And I've always had that perception of, well, we have to be transparent and engage the community. And that's just the type of person I am anyway. I've always been like that. Straight up guy. There's no guessing what it is that I have to say, because I'm going to tell you point blank and you're going to know. So it's not going to be any confusion. But when it comes to the public, people have to be able to trust you. And I felt that I built that trust over the last 12 years. And actually, when I started hitting the ground running, I was doing that.
That's perfect.
Okay. So as you're out there on the campaign trail, what are some of the comments or feedback you're hearing from residents in Muskegon?
Well, one of the comments is, okay, yeah, you know, we support you, Vice Mayor German, you're doing good. And that's always good to hear. A lot of them look at the development and growth downtown. Hear about the gentrification questions, like in the Nelson neighborhood, where I was one of the first that said, once we started that infill housing project, anytime that you start major development, it's almost inevitable you're going to see some type of gentrification. Now, it may not be done intentionally. Just say, for instance, if you are living in that residence, say maybe 20 years, and you have a couple homes you're renting out or somebody's renting, then you see all this new development. Well, the landlord or the tenant, if he rents and he's paying, what, $1,500 for that new apartment, and the guy over here has been leasing this apartment maybe for 500. So he's going to say, well, hey, if he's doing it, I can raise my rent. So not intentionally, but you're kind of getting priced out. But then at the same time, you look at the formula that's used to get these homes, and you look at the medium income, and you also look at what the poverty rate is for some of these citizens that live here in the city of Muskegon. Some of them can't afford them. So they don't really have an option to really purchase a home and to have some type of wealth. So we have to do better with our financial literacy to make sure that these people that are trying to get home, or citizens that's trying to get home, make sure that they're able to afford homes. And I've talked about different programs to come up with to assist them, incentivize them as well.
Now, do you think that the city did the right thing by including, instead of taking the income just from the city of Muskegon, but including all the county, to come up with a figure to purchase new homes at $1,500, $1,800, instead of looking at the income of city of Muskegon?
Greg, that was wrong all the way, and I stated that from the jump. Why are we using the area medium income for the county of Muskegon instead of the residents in the city of Muskegon? Mm-hmm. So, because, you, again, different incomes for different citizens that live in a certain area. My ward is one of the most diverse wards out there. I have the Jackson Hill, Angel, McLaughlin, and Nelson neighborhood, and the downtown. So I have to be able to, you know, juggle. Also, make sure that, hey, everybody's getting what they want, or some of what they want. but it has to be equitable and inclusive. Now, using that formula, no, I was not in favor of it.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
What do you see are the major issues facing the city of Muskegon in the coming future?
Well, right now, you know, there's questions about the benefits of downtown. Okay. And you see the growth. And I've always said, because again, that's an area that I oversee, the downtown area. At one time, Edison Landing and all of that area didn't have anything down there. There was a proposal for a casino and things down there. Now we have the project that we just started and signed with Harbor 31, the Adlon Point project over there. So there's a lot of things that's going on. Then you see a robust downtown. People are coming, they're happy. They want to be downtown. There's housing down there. So the shifts have changed. Now the thing is it inclusive? Can everybody afford to live downtown? Well, we know everybody has different income brackets. Okay, that's just the way it is. Going back, if you go back really how it is and the wealth gap between certain ethnic groups, are like, I'm just going to use an example for every white family compared to black family, the income is $10 to one, okay? That's our check. So that wage, that wealth gap is going to eliminate you from purchasing property or living downtown or in certain areas. There is a book by Richard Rothstein, and he talks about, the name of the book is The Color of Law. And he talks about how government intentionally segregated, redlined, and did all these things to divide. Mm-hmm. So I've talked about that a lot in the meeting. I bring it up all the time because it's so true, and it is happening right now. The more things change, the more they stay the same. They just do it in a different way. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge issue right there. Then not only that, you know, to try to get people in affordable housing, youth programs, going back to Mr. Burns' question, and safe community, and definitely economic development, but bringing the development in locally so people in the city of Muskegon will be able to prosper as well.
Now, one of the things that we talked about, now it doesn't necessarily affect you so much in your area, Ward 2, but it does affect the city. We've talked about, should other cities be included in the parking at the beach, like for Muskegon Heights, or how do you feel about charging people to park at the beach?
Well, actually, I voted no against that, you know, and that shouldn't be no surprise. Again, that natural resource that's there for the public, and everybody should be able to enjoy that, to come down after a hard day's work, week's work, the family, bring your families down there. Now, I understand, yeah, you're trying to generate revenue. I understand that, you know, and then that money that we get from the parking, you know, goes to some of the parks and stuff like that. Yes, but, you know, for a family that they may not have the extra money to just come down there and pay maybe 5 days a week. They may need to do something with that, like pay a light bill or feed the children, take them out or something like that. To have a good quality of life, you have to be level. The playing field has to be level, you know, and that's what I do, and that's what I bring with the fortitude to talk about these things. And it's uncomfortable for a lot of commissioners to do this, you know. They may skate around it, but I'm going to definitely make sure we talk about it and address it. And that's the difference between me and the candidates that I'm running against.
That's Bert.
You're adding your campaign. Do you hear any concerns about relationship between police, public safety, and the community?
Well, you still have citizens that reflect back on the history that's older, that don't trust police. You have some that have a better relationship. Right now we have Chief Kozel. I think he's doing a good job at the community outreach and what he's doing to try to enhance relationships with the community. Chief Lewis, I think he did an excellent job. I mean, it's not easy at times. You're just going to have public perception, but there's things that has happened in the past, particularly with communities of color. You know, and I think we just have to keep trying, keep doing it, have leadership out there that's going to enforce it and advocate for it, because, you know, you can't expect an officer to come to your house and be peaceful when you're out there and having a bunch of crime going on. No, that's their job, to keep peace and to protect. But at the same time, they're out there to, you know, engage the public, you know, make relationships, I think, and just make, build that relationship of trust, you know, with the police department and the city of Mesquite. I mean, in the community.
This is something else brought up. If there's any ward that has been affected with this situation, is your ward. You guys decided to hire Park and Rec's director back. And what do you feel about your parks? Because I feel your parks really need work and need equipment. Your thoughts?
Yes, yes. I think it was a good move. We had a leisure service department at one time that was working with the parks and stuff. If it's done correctly and the money that we said we're going to use for the parks coming from the ARPA dollars, American Rescue Plan, and do it strategically, but also equitably, mm-hmm. you know, these parks will actually benefit from it. And the community would benefit from it as well. So when we talk about allocating funding for things like that, I have to have it in writing. It has to be done equitably. And I think it's going to be good. But we're going to definitely hold each and every one of us accountable.
In a political world where we're really divided, I will say this. The people that are running against you speak highly of you, but they have decided to run. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I've always said this, Mr. Roberts, this seat is not my seat. This is a public seat. And anybody that wants to run for this seat, you know, has the opportunity to run. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, when you run for a seat like this, and you have to understand the logistics, you have to understand the consequences about politics, because politics is a dirty game. You know, what you see right then and there, me sitting on that bench, you don't know the things that's going on behind the scenes. You know, now, Mr. Burns, you've been in management position. Yeah, I think you're in one right now, Greg. You know the politics. And yeah. You have to have tough skin. You have to have the fortitude to say no, because if you don't understand the process, then you will be used like a pawn. And before you know it, you say yes to something or vote for something, and immediately it's impacting the community. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not like the state or federal where it may take a few years, but at the same time, if you got groups bagging you up and giving you money and stuff like that, guess what? They expect something. Mm-hmm. So now you're bought. You're a bought politician. Me, just like Shirley Chisholm, unpaid and unbought. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's me. And I've made sure that each and every February during Black History Month, I always pay tribute to one Black historian to educate people. Mm-hmm. And that's my field in education, because I work at Mesquite Community College. I've been in education for a long time. Not only do I advocate politically, but I educate as well.
Another question that people, other candidates received, I'm going to give you the same question, because there's been so much building, so much new building in the area that you represent, but in the city of Mesquite in a whole. Do you think that lake access to the average Joe to go fishing is limited by all the building?
Well, if you're talking about like on the lakefront, there's been some buildings going on down in that area off of the Mesquite Lake. And one thing that I've always stressed is public access. You have to have public access. They're looking at Fisherman Landing, the other parks, you right down there by the Y. I would not advocate for anything that eliminates any type of public access from the public. Now, I get it, you know, private sector, they want to come in and build and put these condos up, and you're looking at a six-figure price for them, you know, 300+ thousand. Okay, but that lake is the community, and the community on my watch is always going to have access to that lake. So yes, we had to have places for them to fish, to enjoy, to relax, and we can do it strategically and equitably, but at the same time, we can work with the public sector to make sure that, hey, you have to appreciate the fact that we're allowing you to come here to our city and build, because these taxpayers have first rights.
Pastor Burns.
Mr. Jarman, tell us, or you know, you had candidates running against you. What is something about serving on city council or city commission that you, from the time you thought of running to having served now, is way different than you thought it would be?
Well, you know, serving, like I said, Mr. Burns, I've always served in some capacity. But once I actually got on the council and I was in the process of running, I'm like, God, you know, and I turned to God and I prayed. And before I even took that step, I said, you utter my words and guide my footsteps. That's always been the thing that I've said. Now, if it's meant for me to be here, you will allow me to be here. When you allow me to leave or I'm out of this seat, that's because of you, because I trust in you, God. So again, these are the things that I look at, but I know God put people in places for certain situations and for things to help benefit a community, to bring out something that may not be known to the public, people, a mass of people that's happened. So you have to have a Moses, somebody that come in, you know, and I'm not calling myself a comparing to Moses, but I'm just using the analogy that, hey, this kind of stuff happens. And this is what I feel that God does when he wants to put somebody in place to represent his will, not my will. Because it's not about me. It was never about me. It's always been about him.
Name, what do you think, one your top things that you have accomplished for the city, and name one of the things that you were the only vote, because I've seen where you were the only no vote several times on some controversial issues.
Well, I'm going to say the first vote that I voted no on, if I can remember, Mr. Roberts, was the Sappy plant down there. There was some demolition going on, and then there was a process where they wanted to explode the smokestack.
Yeah.
So one of the things I talked about, you know, and you know, environment preservation, they said, well, you know, we want to, you know, use explosives to, you know, bring this down. I said, well, what about contaminants? Well, it's not contaminants in there, you know. So I was the only no vote. Okay. And come to find out that Sunday when they was getting ready to do it, they stopped the process. But guess what? Because there were contaminants in there. So that was one. Farmers market, moving the farmers market from the old Angel off of Cuba. I was at that time in Cushman, I was the only one that voted to keep that there because I knew they wasn't going to keep their promise. And I was a young commissioner at that time. And who was that at that time? The chamber, Cindy Larson, she was on the chamber and leading that spiel. And they came in, they made a pitch, and it sounded good. And at that time, I think our city manager at the time, John Forsyth, he was working down there as the downtown developer in that capacity. I was the only one that voted no. And this time later, you don't see anything down there. So sometimes false promises, you know, you have to see them before they're coming, you know. And hey,
when you say do you mean at the former site? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes, the former site. Yes, okay. Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, Pastor Byrne.
No, I wanted some clarity because I wasn't aware of that. So you said they had promised they would do something.
They was going to do something and never did anything. And then again, I knew that area was contaminated. I've always proposed this. And excuse me, I had this ideal, and then I ended up talking to one of the former city employees that was Lowell Kersey at the time. But my idea was to just green out that area. Okay, cap it off, green off. And then, you know, working in the city in the past, he knew more about it than I did. And it was a plan put in place before. See, one thing about me, I always give credit where credit is due. I don't take credit for everything that, you know, because I was learning in the process as well. But I had a lot of knowledge because I read and I research as well. So my goal was to cap that area off, tie it into the Jackson Hill area, bike trails, you know, some lighting. Taking it all back behind to the steel school area and giving everybody some place to go to relax so you don't have to cross that expressway to go downtown. Mm-hmm. Have some parks, a park, put some amenities down there, and people can enjoy that side of their parks.
Mm-hmm. This is probably a side issue, but that whole issue of bike trails and community equity is one probably coming back around.
There's been talk about it, and I've been stating this for a long time.
And I may see you in those discussions as well.
Yeah. I would not stop. Hey, that social equity is something that I've been doing before it even became popular.
Speaking of social equity, when there were proposed cuts to the fire department, you were a true advocate against it. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, when you're talking about cuts for public safety, Greg, and you yourself, thank you for your service. You was a fireman for quite some time. You know the significance and ramifications that could happen if you short staff, you don't have the resources needed or anything like that. So I think that it's essential that we make sure that our police department, our fire department has all the resources and services that's needed to protect our community and our children, the people. But at the same time, you know, you just want to have things in place, not when, just in case something happened, but have it in place, you know, when it happens, you know.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
Yeah. I know we're getting close to time. This is Greg's point, but people want to get in touch with you. They want to reach out to you, volunteer for the campaign. How do they get in touch with you?
Okay. Yeah. So first of all, everyone that usually talk to me, the public, my number has been public for years to everybody. You can call me directly. My number is 231-329-5673. Or you can reach me by email, and that's the city's email, Willie, Willie.German, German, mm-hmm. JR for junior, mm-hmm. at shorelinecity.com. And then if you want to donate money, I have some dollar sign Willie German Jr. Cash App. You know, your donations, address it to the committee to elect Willie German Jr. Mm-hmm. Or send a check to 1240 Sanford Street, Muskegon, Michigan, 49441.
I was just getting ready to tell you that I didn't hit that $1 billion. So where the, if I want to hit that billion, where to send my check? But you addressed that. Here's the last thing. Why should people vote for you one more time?
Okay. Well, for one, when we talk about experience, okay, I'm going to use this example. Okay, if you go to a dentist to have oral surgery, okay, and you want your tooth pulled or repaired, okay, and then you have someone that comes in that just came fresh out of maybe grad school. Okay, you're going to want somebody with experience to represent you and do that type of work. That's what I bring, experience. Mm-hmm. Okay, but not only that, I'm knowledgeable. Then I have an invested interest in the community. Okay, so I've done things. I've coached kids with all the pastors. So I've never left here. But also, speaking of one of the most diverse wars in the community, you have to be able to build those relationships. You have to be able to understand, because what's happening in Nelson neighborhood, it may be something different in, just say, a Bluffton neighborhood. They don't have the same needs. And these are things that I convey to the commissioners when we vote on things. You have to be able to persuade, and not underminedly, but you have to make sure that, hey, they get the facts and debate, and not scared to say no to something, you know, stand up. Because you're representing people, and that's what I do. I bring the trust, transparency, honesty, and the fortitude to lead with an inclusive mindset.
Vice Mayor Willie German Jr., thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you, guys, and thank you for the work that you're doing. Keep up a good job.
All right, take care.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, that's Willie German Jr. I've known him for years. This is like what we do. We're just trying to bring out information so you can make a wise decision. Now, listen, hopefully this will work. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we'll come back, because I have Pastor Burns, and you're going to have to hold me back on this one.
Okay.
Because we have a scathing report that that has to be brought out and talked about. You are listening and watching Torn in Two with Pastor Melvin Burns and Gregory T. Roberts. We'll see you after the commercial.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically black and proud media, from podcasts to independent black-owned radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.
And we're back. Torn in Two on 103.7 to be in M106. And this is going to come with the views expressed in this next half hour. Our Gregory T. Roberts, Pastor might chime in, but not necessarily the radio station. So if you're mad at somebody, come at me. Don't bother the radio station. Here we go. And they say that the people that write history are the people that have the most money. And as you have seen lately, they have decided to take out a lot of books pertaining to our history, or take, not even add our story to history, not add the true, in Africa, it was smart. There were lots of things and math and all kinds of things came from Africa. It was not like a bunch of dumb people were over there. It was smart, intelligent people at that continent. Now, with that said, Florida, Florida, the Florida Board of Education decided just recently, yesterday, that to put in the books, and my voice is going to get louder, to put in the books the pros and the cons of slavery. That the people that were slave actually got some benefits for being slaves. I kid you not. So next year, this is what the middle school is going to be taught. Have you lost your mind? And that ain't what I wanted to say. That's what I said. People, wake up. This is happening. They're whitewashing history. History is history. There's a story to be told. And they're taking the story out for various reasons, saying, oh, we weren't there. We weren't the cause of it. Okay, take that wealth that your grandmother or grandfather or great-grandmother or great-grandfather or that property that you own, and you're some way part of it. To actually say that we gain knowledge by being slaves is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and shame on you, Florida. But here's the dumbest thing, Pastor Burns. It's going to happen in other states. Other states are going to take this language and say, well, you know what? We don't need that. We don't, you know, we don't want our kids to feel bad. So we want to make our kids feel better so everybody's on an equal place. Stop that bull crap. Stop it right there. What you need to do is put the history down of slavery, how that was wrong, how people were taken from one continent to another to for profit. We were used as people's property, and still some people can't get over that. I won't even go there. But we was used as property, and instead of taking that and putting that in the history books and saying, look what happened. Look what happened. As a country, President Lincoln did this. They stopped slavery. And what happened after slavery? We're still not equal. We're still not equal right now. And right now, for the audacity of people, stupid people, the because they don't want to feel bad, or they want to take it out, or they want to whitewash history. You need to be damn ashamed of yourself to actually say that we benefited from being slaves. Pastor Burns.
Let me give people some broader context while you get a glass of water.
Thank you.
So if you've been following, what's been going on in Florida and other states is the Florida Board of Education came up with standards for teaching Black history. Well, they actually came up with standards for teaching other classes, but the focus has been on the Black history or the African American studies classes. And so what they decided is what's come out, and two things about this you have to look at. You have to look at what their set of standards are for teaching, and you got to remember what they don't include. The other thing you got to keep in mind, it's not in a vacuum. Remember, at the same time, the state of Florida has passed other legislation, and it's important you remember that too. And that legislation has two overarching thoughts behind it. One is you can't teach something and make somebody teach about oppression and make somebody feel like they were an oppressor. You know, they say critical race theory, which no high school in the country teaches critical race theory. But so you can't teach this. You can't teach things that make people feel bad or feel like they were a part of an oppressed group. And so I looked, and we talked about this morning. I looked at the curriculum, I looked at some of the classes, and on the surface, you go, okay, that's not bad. They're teaching some good stuff here. But what you have to look at is what does it eliminate, especially with that overarching law in Florida, is you don't want people to feel bad or feel like they're oppressed. So you teach history, you teach it from this sort of bland, whitewashed perspective, which allows you to say things like, well, there was some good stuff come out of it, because you don't talk about how bad it really was. So, and I was thinking about our discussion when you say that one section where we talked about the benefits of slavery. And on the surface, you say, well, there were some skills people learned from slavery. No, who's an Uncle Nearest, you know, how he learned how to make the whiskey. So were there people in slavery who learned some skills because they were slaves and didn't get paid for their work or their inventions that they used later when they were free? Well, yes. But at the same time, you have to talk about the generational impact of them creating copyrights that they never received royalties from, where other people have received those royalties for generations. You have to talk about the fact that they were forced to do work, forced to learn these skills, that they would derive no direct benefit from it. So you have to put both of the balances in the equation. It sounds like the state of Florida doesn't want to put the balances in the equation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's my thing is that, very well put, by the way. But my thing is that, again, here we go. And one of the person that's the governor of Florida is DeSantis, is running for president, by the way. Mm-hmm. And the thing is people that they are trying to make themselves feel better in something that was a bad situation. If you look at the hangings, the massacres, mothers being torn away and parents, fathers being torn away from their family, and the whips and the chains and all that kind of stuff. People coming over in the boats and they don't have enough food. So guess a couple slaves got to go over the boat. If you look at all that history, a lot of that history is not taught in American history today. Now they're trying to get rid of more. And they're saying to the middle school, well, we just don't, you know, they did learn something. Well, what about the things that we brought over? And what about we raised your kids, and while y'all did y'all social events, it was us that raised your kids. So to have the audacity to say that we gained experience when we brought things, we were given the worst parts of the pig, but we made it taste great, and you guys learned from it, because guess who did the cooking? And we could go on and on, and example after example. And the gap warfare right now, we still haven't caught up. We have not got our 40 acres and a mule. So to say that slavery, we gained something from it, is I have lost my mind, Pastor Burns.
Yes. You know, the disconcerting part is this idea that, and again, we know the limiting of certain authors, is the idea of actually oppressing people's thoughts. We don't know. This is 2013. We still, I would propose, we still don't know what all the effects of slavery as it's practiced in the United States. We don't know all the effects of it yet. I know about 150 years since, but we still don't know all the effects that it's had on us, on our families. We don't know the generational effects it's had. So people are still thinking those issues through and still talking and writing about it, where some people say, well, that was a long time ago, it's over with. We don't still know yet. You know, we don't know the generational effects it's had. We're 100 years out from slavery when people just not want to acknowledge all of the ills of it.
Hello.
Before the Voting Rights Act. So do we still see lawsuits for things like redlining? Some people are talking about racial discrimination doesn't exist. That there's no such thing, privilege was the other word, that there's no such thing called privilege. People want to act like that doesn't exist, but guess what? If my daddy went to Harvard that's over 200 years old, guess what? I got a good chance of getting into Harvard.
Right.
If my daddy went to a college over 100 years ago, I got a good chance of getting in there. That is privilege. And guess what? Many things work like that in society. So who had those opportunities are people who not just didn't have the opportunity, they were legally barred from those opportunities.
People, beware of this kind of stuff and this kind of language that's happening. If you take a look at, they're taking certain books out of libraries, pertaining to our history or pertaining to the knowledge of us, and they're taking those out of well, we don't need that. We don't want our kids to feel bad and all that kind of stuff. No, as you said, Pastor Melvin Burns, this is a chance for us to look at and the kids to look at how far we have come. Have we come all the way full circle? Is every man considered equal? They said it's written on paper, but it doesn't, we're not necessarily treated that way. Can every person get a loan, get that house, go to college, live and get out of those poor areas and get in better areas, have equal schooling, all that kind of stuff? Is it equal? Hell no, it's not equal. It's not equal, people. And for you to sit up here and say that, well, you know, that was a long time ago, and we need to say that things are good and all that kind of stuff. We need to take a break and realize that things are not equal. Do some people rise above the cream? Yes, they do, because they have to work their butt off. But they have gotten rid of a lot of things that have given us a chance to get equal or ahead, like they just got rid of affirmative action.
You know, the other thing, Greg, is you can study a topic and not agree with it. I've read papers and I've read books about people I disagree with just to learn, to see, okay. And so you may have a controversial author, but he's there also so you can expand your knowledge and say, okay, he wrote these things, you know, and I can now have a quote-unquote reasonable disagreement with him. But if you shut him down, there's a whole field of study in religious studies called apologetics where I learned to defend my religion against other religions and other schools of thought. So this idea that we want to, there's this idea of what's good American, and we have these ideas that are anti-good American, and that's dangerous. It's dangerous. We live and breathe some of this politics, and we don't have a problem with somebody being a candidate, but we do have to be really careful when somebody's obviously trying to make a political name, trying to find an issue to boost their national popularity for running.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really about how you feel about education? Is this about getting your name out there as you're the leader of this wave of thought, you know, that will help you get elected? And those are again some of my concerns, you know, in this, none of these decisions are in a vacuum. So these things may make you popular amongst some groups, amongst the potential electors, but is it really done to intend of serving the students in your state the best? And he would probably say yes, and many of other people supporting him probably say yes, but I would also say I have my reservations.
I would say people pay attention to what's happening political wise. Make sure you know what you're voting for, and make sure we don't let history repeat ourselves. The last story of book burnings, Germany, just make sure you know what's going on, because let me tell you, when they start talking about that we learned something good, there were pros and cons to slavery. That is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard, and they need to be ashamed of themselves. But what's going to come up, and I'm telling y'all right now, other states are going to pick up similar language, and they're going to teach their children. That's why it's so important we as people tell our children history, because you're not necessarily going to hear all the truth all the time.
Yeah, that's I know people who brag to me say that that's maybe like a colonial way of thinking. Like, what were some of the pros of slavery? You know, we don't have any.
None.
Are those things about their learning skills, as we were talking earlier, when you said, well, they had a chance to learn some skills and they came out of slavery and did this and this, assumes that those things wouldn't have happened had people not been enslaved. You know, it negates the idea that people who were native to Africa somehow evolved better because of slavery. And that's some horrible, dangerous thinking. That's some oppressive thinking.
That, very oppressive. And to go on with what you said, to like think that we didn't have anything over in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any skills. We didn't have technology. We didn't have nothing over there. You just had bones through our nose, and you just took these crazy, stupid people and brought them over here and taught them a skill to pick cotton and to tea and all this kind of stuff. Oh, my, and rice. Oh, my gosh, I got to go. Question coming to you before I lose my mind.
Okay, Buddha says, the lies that they would have us believe. Yes, Mr. Threatfield, that's true.
So, people, and hold on again.
Did us a favor. Yeah, that's sort of the mindset. You know, with Garrett Morgan or Elijah McCoy, would these people have not come to these inventions and had they not been born in the United States? Nothing. There's nothing we can look to for slavery and say, well, that was a good thing for us.
Master, that whip really taught me a lesson. Thank you. Thank you, Master.
I didn't need a whole foot anyway.
For running. I'm sorry. Wake up. Yeah. This is happening in the country that all men are supposed to be created equal. And this stuff is happening in states. And look at the state that you're living in, and it's coming up. Now we got to take a deep breath and go somewhere else.
Take a deep breath.
Okay. The presidential race are heating up. Now, you know we have a ton on the Republican side, but Donald Trump is leading by 20, 30 points.
Is that again, by indictments or?
Well, he's definitely leading in indictments. Okay. Which he might be facing one any day now, so we'll keep you posted on that. But here's some other news that you don't know. The Green Party, Dr. Cornel West is seeking the Green Party nomination to run as a presidential candidate. Senator Manchin from Wisconsin, there is a new group of people that are called the
West Virginia.
Yeah. No title, no whatever, is considering a run as a president as well. Your thoughts?
This will probably be Manchin's last term in the Senate. I've seen some discussion about Brother West, and it's going to be interesting. Clearly, brilliant brother. He got a lot of. He's very vocal during the Obama administration, and people had their thoughts about that. So obviously we know how political thought was. People are concerned with this draw votes from the Democratic Party. Some people say, hey, he's running because of failures of the Democratic Party to represent, you know, the broad range of his supporters. Going to be a lot of discussion. We're interested to see how he shakes out his campaign, who he draws in support of him. It won't be a minor issue. It will be a source of debate and contention within the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Earlier discussion about before, the Republican strategist said, they looked at it this way. They said, this shows all the things he said about the Democratic Party are true, that it doesn't represent black people's interests. Which was a good point for Republican strategists to make, except for the fact that his party did he forget about his own party? But it was funny, he made the point, like, hammer the Democratic strategist was like, but wait a minute. So what does it say about your party?
Exactly.
Kind of funny. Manchin, again, not surprised. I think, you know, it's interesting because politics is a strange thing, Craig, and you know this. People get in your ear, and you get sort of in an isolated bubble, and people make you think you're doing great things, and if you aren't careful, you have people around you to tell you things that they think you want to hear. I don't know if Manchin is aware of how poorly he's perceived outside of his state. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure he sees polls. I shouldn't say it that way. I don't know. He may hear voices when there's like, you're independent, you think well, but overwhelmingly, I don't hear people say favorable things about him.
According to
amongst Democratic voters.
According to his state has changed colors. He probably would not win another election. Mm-hmm. Who do you think that this will affect the most with these two guys running if they both run?
I don't think Manchin will affect the Democratic Party of West Virginia. West Virginia is still sometimes blue, sometimes a little red. But I don't think Manchin will affect the Democratic Party very much. I think West has the potential to affect it more. Keep in mind, not only do you have West and potential black votes, but you also have that sort of Bernie Sanders kind of independence around the Democratic Party. So I think this adds some steam to that. We don't know all of West is a brilliant speaker, brilliant scholar. How that translate into political policy and candidate, I don't know how that'll play. He draws.
He draws.
And if you never have, forget TV. If you've never been in a room personally to hear him speak, you ought to have that experience. No matter what you think of him, he's a brilliant, gifted speaker. Just pulls from such a broad wealth of knowledge and history and culture that you want to have that experience, even if you don't agree with it. He will draw crowds on the campaign trail. He will draw interest. So I think, keep in mind the Democratic Party has, I don't want to call them fringe, people who lean toward some Green Party, some of those concepts. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of potential. We know there's some, you know, when we're way ahead of ourselves, President Biden will have to try to, you know, and probably have to rein in some of these little factions. He's certainly got some vulnerability.
Right. Well, if you look at the last Green Party candidate and how close the race was, if you look at the battleground states, Michigan, Wisconsin, yes, Pennsylvania, that Green Party person mm-hmm. took a lot of votes in just those areas. Mm-hmm. Those areas were very, very, very close.
Yes.
And I think that this is, if all, both, because the Green Party's already set in 16 states. Mm-hmm. So they just, you know, got a couple more to go. But I think the Democrat Party right now is going to have to face some issues that they're, like you, being inclusive to all. They say they are. Some people think different, that the Democrat Party is going to have to wake up, and I think they're going to have to pay attention to both these, whether if they take 2 votes or 10 votes, that's 10 votes that they need.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, this is all stuff for us to talk about at late 23 and early 24. We're going to have to do a deep dive on Kamala Harris. Clearly, you see the party trying to raise her profile. You hear stories about her and Biden not getting along, but the campaign, you know, I mean, we see the strategy. Part of the opposite strategy is let's start attacking her now so that she's not an asset, you know, and I couldn't really say that she's been the asset, a big asset for Biden the last 3 years, other than that tie-breaking vote that's really been important.
Yeah. But, I tell you, I think what,
it will become a big issue in this coming election, given Biden's age, you know,
which is a huge issue right,
you know,
now.
Every time he sneezes, that's a sign he's senile.
Every time he falls and trips,
yes,
and it's going to be a huge issue. And right now, the vice president is on her way to Florida to address this issue. Mm-hmm. So you bring up a very interesting thing, because they've taken the vice president and sent her the opening of Girl Scout Troop 22 in Montana selling cookies. They've sent her away to everything, and she's out of the picture.
Yes.
And right now, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with her, because her favorability right now is lower than Joe Biden's.
Yeah. And again, I don't know. Well, again, we'll have to do a deep dive if that's a real relationship thing. You know, vice presidents aren't important, you know, and as an overall statement, they aren't really important, but they shouldn't be a drag on you either. And that seems to be how she's being portrayed. Again, I haven't done a deep dive on things, but I think to be successful, Obama intentionally raised the vice presidency of Biden. He raised it. People don't vote for vice presidents. They don't, ooh, this is a good ticket. I like the vice president. It becomes important for party nomination, but people still look at the top of that ticket. But, you know, they can be a drag on it.
I tell you what, like you said, it's been important for breaking them ties. Because
yeah, now that was worth her weight in gold.
Yeah, because she has broken a lot of ties.
Maybe that's it. They had to keep her close to Washington to get there and vote.
Yep, that's it. You need to get to Washington to break a tie.
Don't go too far. You stay in Maryland, Virginia. Don't venture too far away. We're gonna need you.
Right. Hey, listen, people. It's 2:59. It's time for the end of the show. We want to thank Vice Mayor Willie German Jr. for being on the show. Listen, if you have a topic that you want us to tackle, you can call Lady J at 231-727-5007. It can be any topic. Hey, maybe you wrote a book. Maybe you're doing something unique, like wrapping cars, which I saw that car that he did in blue on the street. It was sharp.
Oh, that light blue?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So if you have a topic, give her a call. Also, you can join our Turn the Two Facebook page as well. And if you want us to tackle something, let's go to the board. Benita says, great show, as always, thanks. And thank you.
Thank you, Benita. Appreciate
Listen, we thank you people. Even when we go in our tyrants, it's for a reason. Listen, slavery did benefit us. Now, go out and do something and benefit somebody, sow a seed in somebody's life. You never know whose life you might be changing.
Yes.
Pastor Burns, you take care. I'll see you next week.
All right, my brother.
All right. People, take care. We'll see you next week. God bless. You've been watching and listening to Turn Into.
All right.